I want you to think of something that someone has done wrong to you. Think about that. Some sin that somebody has committed against you. Maybe it was something your spouse did to you last night or the day before. Or maybe it's a grudge that you've been holding on to for years. Can you think of some sin someone's done against you? Shouldn't be too hard. We're sinful people after all. Think of something. You got it? Now that you've got it, I want you to hold on to it. Hold on to it. And let's see if by the end, Jesus can get you to let it go. In the holy name of Jesus, rules are important, guys, especially when you're playing a game. Everybody knows you got to follow the rules of the game, and especially when you teach a child a game, you've got to teach the child the rules of the game. Because the rules are what makes sure everybody's playing fairly. You can believe if you don't teach the child the rules, they're going to be breaking rules on accident. Everybody has to play fairly. Everybody has to get along. And in a sense, the rules of a game and a child playing a game is actually practice for real life, you might say. Because in real life, we have to follow rules, right? There are things that we have to do. Things that we have to do to get along with each other, things that we have to do to make sure everything's fair. I call these, for this sermon, the rules of the universe. Rules of the universe include things like this. You've got to pay your debts. When you get out into the real world, you learn this. You've got to pay your debts when you've got them. If you hurt someone, you can expect that you might get hurt back. You're going to have to pay for it in some way. If you say something not nice, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to say something not nice right back. The mud slings back and forth. These are the rules of the universe. Now today we're supposed to be learning about the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, continuing in our theme of prayer and how we pray and what the Lord's Prayer is. And this is a particularly tough one, guys. So tough that we had to have two gospel readings for the day. I did this for a reason, because I think these two passages are saying more or less the same thing. And the second passage, which Jesus says a little bit later in his ministry, might be a little bit easier for us to grasp. He tells it in a story. So we're going to dig into that, but I warn you, this is one of Jesus' crazier stories. Often there'll be a moment of craziness in Jesus' stories, but this one is pretty much crazy all the way through. So you're going to have to bear with Jesus, and you're going to have to imagine that this story could actually even be possible, considering how ridiculous it is. So let's dig into it, okay? We've got two characters right off the bat. We've got a king and his servant, and that's about as normal as the whole story gets. Gets crazy right away after that. We have the king collecting on his debts. You owe me stuff, you got to pay, and the servant comes in, and he's got a debt of 10,000 talents. Does anybody know what a talent is? See, you can get sidetracked. And 10,000 what? Pennies? No. It's not 10,000 pennies. A talent is worth 20 years' wages. It's a unit of measurement, counting out the coins that you would pay someone for 20 years of work. So I don't know, let's do the math here. I mean, you got 10,000, multiply that by 20, account for inflation over 2,000 years, and then do the currency exchange across three continents, and you come out with around $2 billion, give or take a couple hundred million or so, because, I mean, who's counting? I told you guys, it gets crazy right off the bat. This is a huge debt. So he says, you better pay. How did the debt get there? How did the guy spend that much money? How did the king let him get away with borrowing that much? I don't know. But there's a debt, and it's got to be paid. The king hauls him in and says, you better pay, or I'm going to sell your family to prison, to debtor's prison, where you're going to have to pay off every penny. That would have been a life sentence for him, right? It would have taken him 1,000 years to pay off that debt. Crazy. But the servant falls down on his knees and he begs, be patient with me, Lord. Be patient with me, Master. And he doesn't ask for forgiveness, but he asks for time to pay off the debts. One more ridiculous thing in Jesus' story, like he could come up with the money. But the most ridiculous of all is what happens next, because the king is left with a choice here. The king can play by the old rules, or he can make up some new rules. The king can kill the debt, or he can kill the debtor. Remember, this is huge, guys. This is more than entire Roman provinces would pay in taxes. And the king decides to have mercy. Amazing. The servant goes free. The king has pity on him. If this is the way that the kingdom of God is like, as Jesus says, I can get on board with this, can't you? For we both know that we all stand under a mighty debt before God of our sins. More than $2 billion, more than we could ever pay off. We could say, be patient with me, Lord, but it's going to take far too long. It's going to be impossible for us to pay off our debts. And the good news for us is that God chose to kill the sin and not the sinner. He could have wiped us out for the debt, but instead he wipes the debt out. Amazing, radical grace for us, for you. But that's only the first part of the petition, guys, right? You know that there's more to the story. That's only forgive us our trespasses. We still have to go on to as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so we find ourselves observing this servant who is a free man, a new man. He is debt-free. And what does he do? But he finds one of his fellow servants who owes him 100 denarii, nothing compared to $2 billion, and he demands repayment. Servant falls on his knees. He can't repay. Be patient with me. Have mercy. And you know how the story goes, right? He saw how much he had been forgiven, and he lets the debt go free. He's a new man. He can let the debt go. Wrong. That's not how the story ends. The man is calloused, cold-hearted, forgets what's been done to him, and he sells his servant into debtor's prison until he should pay off every last penny. The craziness of this story. Almost every aspect, except for the next. Because it's the conclusion where things finally start to make sense to us, and we think, that's the way it should be. Because the king hears about the unmercy of his servant, and he has him hauled in again. And this time, there'll be no mercy. There'll be no forgiveness. He tells off that wicked servant for his behavior. He reinstates the debt, and he throws him into debtor's prison until every last penny should be paid. That will be never. And then Jesus looks into your eyes. He looks into your eyes, and he looks into my eyes, and he says, so also will my heavenly Father do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's a powerful story. And right off the bat, when we're looking at it, we can see that that unmerciful servant truly deserved what was coming to him, right? He ought to have forgiven his fellow servant as he had been forgiven so richly. And then we have to make the parallel to ourselves, right? We've been forgiven a mighty debt from God. We should forgive the sins of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should. We ought to. But Jesus doesn't leave it at we should or we ought to, does he? No, that last sentence, he says, you must forgive your brothers in Christ. You can't forget how the parable ends. The unmerciful servant is thrown into debtor's prison, cast into hell, you might say. His debt fully reinstated. So the question we got to ask ourselves now, I guess, is how can we? How can we forgive as God forgives us? It's hard, no? Well, maybe sometimes it's easy, and sins are little. Those are the easy ones to forgive, right? When there's relatively little that we have to pay in order to make it right. When the expense to us is small. So, for example, a son or a daughter says to mother, I'm sorry I forgot to take the trash out. I'll try to do better next time. I forgive you. Now go take out the trash. Or a parent says to their son or daughter, I'm sorry that I was late picking you up from school. I want to be on time next time. Easy, I forgive you. Or, I'm sorry for the harsh words I said to you last night. I don't want to be that way anymore. I forgive you. Relatively small debts there, but what about when the debt is large? Can we get off the hook, Jesus, when it's hard to forgive people? What about when somebody says to you, I'm sorry I cheated on you. I'm sorry I totaled your car. I'm sorry I wasted all your money. I'm sorry that I physically hurt you. I'm sorry that I abandoned you when you needed me most. Then is it so easy to say, I forgive you? It's tough. There's no doubt about that. I often hear people summarize this parable, and I myself have summarized it this way. You tell it really quick, highlighting the two debts, right? You've got the one guy with $2 billion on the one hand, and the other guy who owes, what, a couple hundred bucks on the other side. It's nothing, right? It's nothing in comparison. And you might even say, 100 bucks, that's nothing, period. You don't even have to compare. You can forgive 100 bucks easy, right? We need to look at that debt a little more closely. We need to do some math on that. He owed 100 denarii. What's a denarius, you might say? A denarius is also another monetary unit. It's what is paid to someone for one day of work. So this man owed his fellow servant 100 days worth of work. How much do you make in 100 days of work? Think 4 months of your salary. Do the math. That's 1/3. I'm going to be conservative here, and I'm going to say $10,000, just ballpark here, okay? And I'm sure there's people who have less, and I'm sure there's people in here who have more than that as 4 months' salary. But $10,000, whoo, that's no small amount. People have died over less than $10,000. And when you see that middle section between the two servants, if you were to see that in isolation, it starts to make a little more sense, maybe. If you forget about the mercy that the king had. If you forget about the mercy that the king had. Then it might seem like the wicked servant is justified, right? He's just trying to get what belongs to him, right? What's due to him? Who could forgive a $10,000 debt? Who has? It's impossible. According to our sinful nature, according to the rules of the universe, it's impossible. Debts must be paid. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, vengeance for offense. Only if the rules are rewritten can a debt this size ever be paid off. Only next to unimaginable grace, only next to the story of a king who forgave his servant $2 billion does it ever make sense for someone to forgive a debt of $10,000. It's the comparison right there. First comes the unimaginable, the amazing, the costly, the extravagant grace of God. And make no mistake, it did cost him dearly. It cost him his own son. That he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to live and to die. That the Father would turn his back on his beloved and pour out all of his wrath squarely upon him so that our debt would be paid off. This is the mercy of God. And so the rules of the universe have been rewritten. No longer is it eye for eye. No longer do sinners have to pay for their sins. We don't have to fear the wrath of God anymore because his forgiveness is infinite. And so the rules of the universe have been rewritten, but not just for us and God, but for everyone. It spreads out and from him it flows through to us and to others. Covers everything. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the debts that may be owed to you guys from your brothers, from your sisters in Christ. 100 denarii, $10,000 is a large amount, and the debts owed against us are large amounts. And if we had to put numbers to it, I am sure that there are plenty of you out there who would say, my debt is in excess of $10,000. It is very large what someone has done to me. And you'd probably be right. You would. I can't minimize that. But we still have to compare. We still have to compare. We have to locate any forgiveness that we could ever give next to and in with the forgiveness that God has given to us. Only to those who have been shown unimaginable grace is the ability to show unimaginable grace given. That's the only way it's possible. Forgiveness is hard, guys. It's tough. There's no doubt about it. It goes against everything that we've ever been taught. The old rules of the universe, which would say eye for eye, tooth for tooth, debts must be paid, and I'm coming back with a vengeance. You know what this feels like, right? It's the feeling of knowing that I ought to forgive. I must forgive my brother in Christ, but struggling so hard to say the words, to make the choice. It's the feeling of a weight. It's every fiber of your being pulling in the opposite direction. The weight of all of it, of the forgiveness. And you can't even shake it off your back. It's so hard. You want the grace of God desperately. You know the debt you owe. But what they have done is just so large, it seems. How could I ever forgive them? How could it ever be made up? And so the old rules of the universe, they cement the brokenness of our relationships, keep them fractured both with others and with God. But don't you know that the rules have been changed? It's no longer eye for eye. In the grace of God, sinners don't have to pay for sins anymore. And here's the crux of it all. Here's the heart of it. And here's the toughest part to reconcile and to come to grips with. It's the fact that you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. The rules of the universe have to be the rules of the whole universe. It's not an a la carte menu that you can pick your main course here and your side dish there. God makes the whole thing. So now you have to say, do I like God's new rules or do I not? Are they for me? Because they all have to be for you. Do you see why Jesus says you must forgive your brother? He says it because to not forgive your brother, to refuse to forgive him, is to say, I don't really like the old rules. I don't really like the new rules that much. It's to say, I like the old rules better. I liked it better when it was eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Debts must be paid, and sinners must pay for their sins. That might work out for you in the short term. It might. But in the long term, to those who think this way, to those who feel this way, to those who live this way, God will reinstate their debts. It will not end well. I don't want anybody to hear me wrong right here. I'm not saying that struggling to forgive someone is the same as refusing to forgive someone. That's very different, very different things. Struggling is actually to be preferred here because struggling means you desperately want to live under the new rules that we have in Christ. You want the forgiveness of God, but you're finding it hard. Your emotions aren't quite cooperating with you. Refusing, though, that's a whole different thing. Refusal is a mark of self-righteousness. It's saying, I think those new rules actually kind of stink. It's despising them. So, don't refuse. But if you're struggling, I have some advice before we wrap up. Try not to think of forgiveness as an emotion. Try not to think of forgiveness as a feeling, right? Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's more of a choice. It's more of even a command, if that helps you, right? We have many commands from God, and never once is I don't feel like it an excuse. It's not. I'm sure there are more than I can count on two hands out there right now who didn't want to come to church this morning. And you're here, anyways. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but it's a choice, right? Forgiveness doesn't mean, I'm going to feel better every time I see you now. Forgiveness doesn't mean our relationship is going to go back to exactly the way it was before. Forgiveness doesn't mean all of my scars, all of my wounds, all of my pains are going to magically disappear. Though it may follow, it may. Forgiveness means I will not hold this against you anymore. Your debt to me is forgiven. There's no vengeance coming from me. That's what forgiveness is. And in Jesus Christ, compared to what we have in him, is the only way that we can do it. When you hear the words of Christ proclaimed to you, how can you help but forgiving, letting go of the debt? And so I'll leave you with the words of St. Paul today, the closing words of our epistle reading. Let all bitterness and all wrath, along with all slander and anger and clamor, be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Didn't seem to work. That's because there's more to it. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. It's all in the comparison, guys. Amen.